My fellow Americans, we have endured a week such as no nation should live through. A time of violence and tragedy.
Over the last week here on The Takeaway, we've been looking back at the 1967 riots in Detroit and how the city has changed in the 50 years since. After a summer of civil disturbances in cities across the United States in 67, President Lyndon Johnson, with one eye on the escalating conflict in Vietnam, turned the other eye on American cities, and he sat at his desk in the Oval Office and addressed the nation.
For a few minutes tonight, I want to talk about that tragedy, and I want to talk about the deeper questions that it raises for us all. I am tonight appointing a special advisory commission on civil disorders. Governor Otto Kerner of Illinois has agreed to serve as chairman.
It became known as the Kerner Commission, and it was formed to investigate the causes of the uprisings. It became the first presidential commission to ever examine and publicly expose the disparities in black communities and make policy recommendations to alleviate them. Fred Harris was a United States senator from Oklahoma at the time. Today, he's the last surviving member of the Kerner Commission. Lyndon Johnson would eventually reject that committee's findings, but Fred Harris recalls the president's stated mission back in 1967.
President Johnson had said to us, I want you to find and speak the truth, first of all, about what happened, why did it happen, and what can we do to keep it from happening again and again. And that's exactly what we did. We started out immediately with 20 days of hearings. We heard from 44 witnesses that included people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI. And then we went out as members of the commission to various cities in the country, walked the mean streets of cities like Cincinnati and Milwaukee. John Lindsay and I together as a team did. And then we came back and we had 40-something days of reading every word of our report aloud and word for word approving it by a majority vote. We told the truth. What happened? Well, President Johnson, unfortunately, thought there was some planning or organization or conspiracy involved. We said, no, there was not. That the conditions in these cities were so bad, the wretched poverty and terrible racism and great hostilities between the people and the police, that almost any random spark could set off these riots. And that's what exactly had happened.
Tell me specifically a little bit about what you remember walking through these cities, through some of the urban cores that you went to, and what you saw.
In Cincinnati, for example, we met with a very militant group that didn't want to meet with us, wouldn't shake hands with us, black people. So much hostility against white people. And we saw the terrible conditions that existed there, terrible housing. Many of these people had come from criminally inferior schools in the South. They came, say, to Cincinnati or Milwaukee just about the time jobs were disappearing. They came for jobs, and globalization meant that a lot of these jobs disappeared, and also, of course, automation caused a lot of them to disappear. So things are really awful. In Milwaukee, I spent half a day, for example, sitting in a black barbershop, and I asked people that came in, where are you from originally? And they say Birmingham or Jackson, Mississippi or somewhere. And I started asking them first, did you find more discrimination in Jackson than you find in Milwaukee? And at first, people were puzzled. It turned out in Milwaukee, they didn't see any white people to speak of. There was more segregation in Milwaukee than in the places they had left in the South. So what we tried to do then was just to tell the truth about what we found, and we had first thought we could recommend some short-run solutions and then make a longer report, but we found that there were no short-run solutions, that you had to get at these terrible conditions out of which these riots had occurred.
So the report details awful social conditions, really puts a lot of the society, in a way, on trial for this segregation, both racial and economic. Martin Luther King eventually refers to the report as a physician's warning of approaching death with a prescription for life.
That's right. Secretary of Labor Willard Wirtz, I thought, had one of the best comments. He said that what the Kerner Commission has said is the same as the words of that great American philosopher Pogo, who said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us."
And then, of course, you confront the political reality, and you confront a president who put you on this commission and then rejected its findings. I want to play for you LBJ once again. Here he is talking with Richard Daley, former mayor of Chicago and Democratic boss.
The Kerner Commission made a very exhaustive study and spent a couple of $1 million, but they recommended that I spend $80 million, and I got no place to get the 80. I can't borrow it. I can't tax it. I can't get a tax bill of any kind. And they didn't discuss that. That's a detail they didn't get into.
So there's President Johnson complaining about his political realities after you've confronted him with some real social realities.
I understand the realities, and I want to say something about that. But that's really sad, because President Johnson did more in the field of civil rights and against poverty than any president before or since. But two things. One, a member of the House, a close friend of President Johnson's from Texas, got an advance copy, was leaked to him, of the Kerner Report, and he said to Johnson, we learned this directly from White House staff, he said to President Johnson, "This thing is going to ruin you. It condones and encourages riots, and it doesn't have a good word to say about anything you've done for civil rights or against poverty." Well, that was false, but Johnson believed it. The other thing is, the Tet Offensive was happening in the latter part of February 1968, just about the time when we came out with our report. Here Johnson was feeling very beleaguered, terrible anti-war demonstrations, and then here comes this report of saying you've got to spend all this additional money here at home. The circumstances were such, misled, that Johnson rejected the report, but a lot of the good people supported it, and we made progress on virtually every aspect of race and poverty for about nearly a decade after the Kerner Report.
And now, Senator, these 50 years later, of course, I know you spend time looking across the country. Many of the problems that are detailed in the report, despite progress, are still with us today. Where do you think we are?
We're in worse shape insofar as poverty is concerned. There are far more people, 44.1 million people who are poor, 13.5% of our population. That's compared with 12.5% back 50 years ago. Inequality of income and wealth has greatly worsened, particularly in recent times. Safety nets, housing, and so forth, all of those have been reduced. Education and training, we thought the key here is to put a lot more effort into education and in training, and all those kind of funds have been cut. I'm in the process with a friend, Dr. Alan Curtis, who is head of the Eisenhower Foundation, which I used to be the president of. We're putting together a 50th anniversary update of the Kerner Report, looking again at these problems, talking about where they are. We got to try to get the issues back on the agenda for the public.
Senator Fred Harris, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet.
Senator Fred Harris, senator from 1964 to 1973 from Oklahoma and a member of the Kerner Commission.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.